we'll call the Senate Special Committee on Budget for Friday, July 8th to order. Got a number of items on our agenda and a floor session at 2 o'clock. So hopefully we can get through this in a moderate amount of time. First item on our total work session agenda is Senate Bill 5546, the Department of State Lands, Alan Dr. Magic Bates.
Okay. Senate Bill 5546, the budget bill for the Department of State Lands. The department provides administrative support to the State Land Board, which is responsible for management of the common school fund assets. The department is responsible by statute for programs such as removal, fill, and wetlands. It manages the South SLU National Estuary Research Reserve and provides support to the Natural Heritage Advisory Council. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources approved a total budget of $109.7 million and 89.83 FTE. This is a 93% increase over the governor's budget, primarily as a result of a $54.6 million increase in projected common school fund distributions to schools. Of the total budget approved by the subcommittee, $89.9 million is for the common school fund distributions and $19.8 million is for agency operations. The budget for operations is $1.9 million below the governor's recommended level of funding. The subcommittee reduced the proposed budget to reflect the lower Attorney General and PERS rates. Several policy packages were eliminated or reduced with the understanding that the agency may appear before the emergency board with a request for additional expenditure limitation if needed and or when additional information becomes available. The recommended budget provides two new limited duration positions to help implement a portion of the asset management plan for the common school fund portfolio. This includes selecting and preparing certain isolated tracts of unproductive lands for sale. The subcommittee directed the agency to report to the emergency board on the progress of these positions in benefiting the common school fund. The subcommittee reviewed the agency's performance measure and directed the agency to report to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee the progress report on developing certain measures. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends Senate Bill 5546 be amended and report out due pass as amended.
Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5548, the Department of Transportation fee bill. This bill authorizes fees for registration plates, the Oregon Innovative Partnerships Program, and the Road User Fee Task Force Pilot Program. This bill provides enabling legislation necessary to approve the new fees established by the Department of Transportation, allowing the fee changes to remain in effect permanently. Absent this bill, state law requires that the fee increases adopted administratively be rescinded on July 1st, 2001, okay, or upon signee-die. Your subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5548 be amended and report out to pass as amended. Might be a little typo there. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Moving on, Senate Bill 5584, Oregon Student Assistance Commission, Senator Big Guy Richard Devon.
Senate Bill 5584 is the budget bill for the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. The commission administers state and privately funded scholarship programs, including the state's primary student aid program, the Oregon Opportunity Grant. The commission also houses the Office of Degree Authorization. The Opportunity Grant assists lower-income students who attend an Oregon four-year or community college. Although the recommended budget does not fund the Opportunity Grant at the level of the governor's budget, it does increase support by 76% above the current biennium level. This increase of $34.8 million will allow the state to award Opportunity Grants to all eligible full-time students. Currently, less than 70% of eligible students are funded before the appropriation is exhausted. Additional funding will also expand the grant program to include part-time students for the first time. The program's expansion to serve all full-time students will occur in the first year of the biennium, and the expansion to include part-time students will occur in the second year of the biennium. SB 5584 will add almost 24,000 students to the Opportunity Grant Program over last biennium's level and significantly expand access to universities and community colleges for Oregon's lower-income students. The subcommittee also made a number of other adjustments to streamline the agency and to reduce the administrative costs. Administrative costs were reduced by over $770,000 general fund and almost $1.1 million total funds, and three positions in the governor's budget were eliminated. Nonetheless, the agency will still be able to continue existing functions at these reduced expenditure levels. Your Education Committee recommends that Senate Bill 5584 be amended by the -1 amendments and reported out to pass as amended. And colleagues, I might mention, too, that the Education Committee, they don't do this on too many large budgets. voted this out unanimously, 5-0.
That's good, Benjamin. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5612A, Department of Forestry, Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5612 is the budget bill for the State Forestry Department. This bill was approved by the Senate Special Committee on Budget June 29th and referred back to the committee by the Senate for possible reconsideration. The Senate Natural Resources Subcommittee reconsidered the budget bill and amended the budget report to add a budget note relating to the Fire Protection Program, which requires the department to present an initial plan of the department's strategy for the deployment of additional forest fire suppression resources to address to address severe forest fire conditions and how the plan interfaces with the federal commitment of resources. The Senate Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5612 be reported out to pass with the amended budget report.
Good work. Discussion. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question about any of the other budget notes that I understand may have been the subject of some discussion. I'm just curious what the status ended up.
Mr. Chair, those budget notes are going to be discussed with you and with Senator Ringo, and we expect that if we do make a change, that change will be made as the final negotiation between two bills occur.
Thank you, sir.
Very good. Thanks for the clarification. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, it's ordered. House Bill 5080A, Criminal Justice Commission, Senator Gordley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5080A is the House version of the budget bill for the Criminal Justice Commission. It is identical to Senate Bill 5533 that was passed by the Senate on June 13th, except for the $8,433 general fund reduction in services and supplies. I recommend House Bill 5080A be reported out due pass.
Yes, Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to refresh my memory, the explanation of the loss of federal funds, it's a pretty huge amount. And I think
it's the transfer.
I don't recall the details.
Doug, do you want to come up and help us out, sir?
Yeah, the transfer out.
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, Doug Wilson with the Legislative Fiscal Office, the large loss of federal funds from 03-05 represents the transfer of the juvenile crime prevention grants from this agency to the Commission for Children and Families. There are federal funds that go along with that grant.
Thank you very much.
Yep, good question.
I'm going to see my piece. Excuse me.
Further discussion? Objections? Seeing none? So ordered. House Bill 5085A, Employment Relations Board. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5085A is the budget bill for the Employment Relations Board. This bill is identical to Senate Bill 5621A that was passed by the Senate on July 7, 2005. Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 5085A be reported out due pass.
Discussion? Objection? Seeing none? So ordered. House Bill 5118A, Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 5118A is the budget bill for the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability. This bill is identical to Senate Bill 5564A that was passed by the Senate on May 23, 2005, with the exception of a $2,341 or 3% general fund services and supplies reduction. I move House Bill 5118A be reported out due pass.
Thank you, sir. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none. House Bill 5121A, Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. Senator Gordley, please.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5121A is the House version of the budget bill for the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. It is identical to Senate Bill 5567, that was passed by the Senate on May 23rd, except for the $37,981 general fund reduction in services and supplies. I recommend House Bill 5121A be reported out due pass.
Discussion? Objection? Seeing none? So ordered. House Bill 5149A, Department of Human Services Fee Bill. Senator Westland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5149A is the fee bill for the Department of Human Services. ORS 291.055 requires the Legislative Assembly to ratify the fees an agency establishes or increases during the prior biennium. This bill includes 14 different fees that have either been increased or established, all within the Department's Public Health Vital Records Program area. Five of them are newly established fees, including the fee for international medical graduate students, a non-sufficient funds check charge fee, a replacement for death and birth certificate after correction fee, and an alert immunization registry data fee. The five new fees, as well as the nine fees increased, are expected to raise $674,000 of additional revenue for the Department's Vital Records Program within the Public Health Department during the 05-07 biennium. With the exception of the new fees, these fees have not been raised since 1991. The fee changes have been assumed in the DHS budget bill. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5149A be reported out, do pass.
Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 5171A, Health-Related Licensing Boards, Fee Bill. Senator Gordley, please.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 5171 is the fee bill for three health-related licensing boards and is virtually identical to Senate Bill 5627A that was passed by the Senate on July 7, 2005. The only difference between the two bills is a wording change to more accurately describe two of the fees. I recommend House Bill 5171A be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion. Objection. Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 82A, relating to Task Force on Land Use Planning, Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 82A was referred to the Senate Special Committee on Budget from the Senate Committee on Environmental and Land Use. This bill establishes the Task Force on Land Use Planning with 10 members appointed by the Governor, the President of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House. The Task Force is to conduct, with public input, a comprehensive review of the state's 32-year-old land use system and make recommendations to the Governor, the Legislative Assembly, and the Land Conservation and Development Commission in 2007 and 2009. The subcommittee took public testimony of the bill and heard from a variety of interests that believe a review of the current land use system, which has become more complex over its 32-year life, is long past due. Since the land use system was first implemented, both Oregon's demographics and economic base have changed significantly. The subcommittee amended the bill to remove the general fund appropriations, since the Senate budget plan adds a general fund to the budget for the Department of Land Conservation and Development to implement Senate Bill 82. The subcommittee discussed the fact that the amount in the Senate plan is lower than the amount in Senate Bill 82. The subcommittee heard that, since this review is to take place over a four-year period, the result is that some work originally planned for the 2005-07 biennium would not occur until 2007-09. Senate Subcommittee on Natural Resources recommends Senate Bill 82A be amended and reported out as a do pass. This is, of course, the big look. Thank you.
Discussion. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So that we understand the, how the monies have shifted, could we have staff or someone explain that? It looks to me like, in looking at the write-up, that we've reduced their budget by $600,000, but we've added back for this task force. Is that correct?
Staff, want to proceed?
Mr. Chair, Senator Morse, the governor's budget had a package, a policy package in there to implement the big look, and so did Senate Bill 82, but they were slightly different amounts. The amendments that you have before you will take the appropriation out of this bill, but the Senate budget plan provides for $600,000 in the budget for the Department of Land Conservation and Development for implementation of the bill.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Further discussion? Objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 1088, a very important piece of legislation relating to payment for prescription drugs for persons eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid prescription drug benefits, dual eligible. Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is an important piece of legislation, and I've been waiting all session to see it come through. Frankly, I was getting a little worried. and so is Mr. Britton. Senate Bill 1088 directs the Department of Human Services to adopt rules to modify the Medicaid prescription drug benefit for persons who are eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid in response to provisions of the Medicare Modernization Act. The bill requires DHS to report to appropriate interim legislative committees with oversight of health care or human services programs on the adoption of the rules and the implementation of the Medicare Modernization Act for persons who are eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid. In addition, Senate Bill 1088 allows DHS to place claims against the states of duly eligible persons for whom Medicare Modernization Act clawback payments has been made. The measure is assumed in the DHS budget and is estimated to save $133.9 million general fund during the 2005-07 biennium. The bill is also expected to generate about $1.8 million of estate recoveries that are used to offset general fund expenditures. The Human Services Subcommittee recommended that Senate Bill 1088 be reported out to pass. Just a quick comment. This bill is really necessary to balance our budget, and we can't let it not get through. The Medicare Modernization Act may be the biggest change we've seen in Medicare in the last 20 years. You will be getting calls from your constituents on this change. The first letters will go out in June and July of this year. Most people will be up and running on this in January. It's the Part D of Medicaid, which is the prescription benefit. Many of these people have been receiving that benefit as part of the Medicaid plan, and they'll now be available to get it on the Medicare plan. Our Medicare reimbursement rates are based on that change occurring. So if we don't make this happen, we'll be paying out for something and getting a cut on the other side of Medicare and ending up in a hole on this. As far as the patients are concerned, it's going to be confusing to them, very confusing to them, and we'll have to lead them through this. And once we get through the first 6 months, I think we'll be okay. But from January to the beginning of about the middle of the next year, I think it's going to be a real tough time for a lot of patients. And we may need to send something out to senators and representatives because they're probably going to get some phone calls.
Further discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Carter. Senator Carter and then Senator Winter.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Co-Chair. Two of the greatest people have on your committee are Bates and Wessler.
Well, they think so.
Yeah, they think so.
I'm not too sure about
that. I just want to tell you that John Britton and I should get a gold medal for having to deal with both of those guys. I'm telling you, they can wear the hell off of a horns off of a billy goat. I'm telling you, they're wonderful to have on the committee.
Yeah, and with that in mind, Mr. Chair,
question to the carrier. With this incredibly important bill, Senator Bates, I just wanted to make sure that you checked with Senators Devlin, Morris, Gordley, Winters, and Johnson, as you indicated you would, that we were going to hold this up and vote no until we saw Senate Bill 819. Have we done that?
John? Oh,
you know, thank you for reminding me that I'm recommending a no vote in this committee. We leave the 819 out.
I don't know why I brought that up.
I'm sorry I made comments. Senator Winters.
Mr. Co-Chair, the good senator brought up a very, very important comment that I hope that you paid attention, that how important that this will be for your constituents to understand the implications surrounding the Medicaid Modernization Act. And we as policymakers will probably have to assist in communicating to members of our respective communities. So I would concur with the good senator from Southern Oregon. This is a very, very important piece that we're voting on today, and it has huge ramifications for the citizens that we serve. So I don't want to let that pass because he brought this up, and I think it should be well taken by all of us sitting up here.
Senator Johnson and Senator Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. At the risk of piling on, is there any opportunity for the department to provide an education mechanism to senior centers and other places that serve the populations affected by this sweeping change so that uniform information is going out simultaneously to those establishments and places that have contacts with these populations?
I think we need to recommend maybe get the Bobbsey twins here or someone else to really work on making sure that we have a coordinated approach. I think that is exactly.
Would that be Senators Bates and Westland, or would that be Senators Winters and Johnson? Bobbsey twins, I got confused.
All them. I think this is a very good point. That's one thing that hasn't actually been discussed by this body, but talk about a great bipartisan, bicameral initiative. It would be a great thing for us to have a over the next 6 months, just keep pounding away so that there's no senior left behind, if you will, and doesn't understand that they need to be on their toes or their family member be on their toes and take care of it. Yes, Senator Cortland.
Thank you very much. And that's a part of what I wanted to speak to, and also commend Senator Winters for the initiative that she took prior to the beginning of this session in hosting the gathering in downtown Portland, as I recall, that brought legislators together and other partners, all with an eye toward helping us get an early look at this policy change, this policy shift. And I think we have the opportunity to build on the good work that Senator Winters started, which was about educating ourselves first so that we can be in a better position to help our constituents understand what they need to do. So I would just encourage us to make sure that Senator Winters is involved in helping us build on what she's already started.
Great.
I know that others have been involved, but I just want to acknowledge the leadership of Senator Winters.
Don't worry, Alan. I'll explain it to you.
Oh, thanks. I'm a little confused. Now I'm confused. The other issue of this we had, if we're going to discuss and promote, we should put out too, is those first letters that go out do not pertain just to Part D. They will be informing people that they may be eligible for other benefits under Medicare and Medicaid. The department is gearing up for the expected response to that and are trying to prepare for that as much as possible. We probably should follow Senator Winters' a guide in this leadership on this and get legislators to the same level so they can instruct their staffs and be ready for those phone calls, because you probably will get them. And many times you'll probably want to be in a position you can answer those questions, not just refer them to the department. So we'll put some information together as quickly as possible.
Thanks.
Yeah, this is a good topic for discussion, and I would hope we'd be more proactive. In other words, legislators would be so well informed that they would, through maybe some coordinating mechanism like we did with these public hearings around the state, we've got the House and Senate working together, and work within our district so that we are going to town halls and senior centers on a very proactive basis again and again, because it takes that repetition, not just responding to the inquiries, but actually getting that information out so that we're all singing the same song and it becomes understandable. It would be really great. So Rocco's writing all that down. All right, any further discussion on Senate Bill 1088? Any objections, Senate Bill 1088? Seeing none, so order.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Cortland.
Next bill. With me today is one of the principals formerly of Lincoln High School, Ms. Velma Johnson, and she's working on her doctorate degree in observing people in leadership. So know that all of you.
Now you tell us. That's a lot.
Forget everything she's been
like this. Johnson is back at the back in the gray suit. Ms. Johnson, will you just stand? And she has been 20-some-odd year teacher in Portland School District and principal recently at Lincoln High School. So she's working on a doctorate and she's observing you guys.
I'm actually Frank Morris.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson, very much.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to apologize for the behavior of Senator Westland here today. Unfortunately, it's typical, but just try to ignore it.
Moving right along. Senate Bill 1092 relating to state financial administration. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 1092 is a technical cleanup bill to clarify when dedicated funds are continuously appropriated or transferred, to codify past and current practices, and to repeal certain statutes that are no longer necessary. The bill has no fiscal or revenue impact. This bill is the product of an extensive interim technical review that was completed by Legislative Council with the assistance of the Legislative Fiscal Office. The purpose of the review was to determine whether dedicated other fund accounts were continuously appropriated and to identify other similar types of technical changes necessary to create more consistency in existing statutes. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee unanimously recommends the bill to be reported out due pass.
Discussion. Objection. C9. Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2052, relating to housing. Housing, Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2052 increases the revenue bond limit for the Housing and Community Services Department to $2.5 billion from $2.0 billion. The agency uses the bond proceeds to provide below-market financing to low- and moderate-income homebuyers and to developers who use related savings to provide affordable rents. Increasing the authorization allows the agency to continue its current loan programs, estimated at $180 million to $230 million per year. The Department of Economic Development Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2052 be reported out and do pass.
Discussion. Objection. Seeing none? So ordered. And to wrap it up, House Bill 2107A, relating to driving privileges, Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2107A brings Oregon into compliance with the Motor Carrier Safety Improvement Act of 1999 and the USA Patriot Act of 2001. The measure changes requirements relating to school bus operation, hazardous materials, driver's license endorsements, and provisions related to commercial driver's licenses dealing with disqualification from holding a commercial driver's license. The Senate Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee reviewed the fiscal impact statement and determined that the costs were within the scope of the Oregon Department of Transportation budgets approved by the House and the Senate. The subcommittee recommends House Bill 2107A be reported out. Do pass.
Thank you. Discussion. Objection. Seeing none. Just like to announce to the committee that basically, by my reading, and staff can correct me, we've got all our budget bills out of sub. We now have all our budget bills out of full. Might be a fee bill come through here yet, but I think we're done in that regard. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, there might be one or two budget bills, I believe, the Department of Justice. Well, we have other bills coming from the House.
The House bills will be coming. But as far as Senate bills go.
In agreement right now. So.
Okay.
But as far as Senate bills, yes.
So that's good work. The committee should be commended for doing that. Doesn't mean you'll be let off, as we will have House bills. We'll have some, hopefully, as agreements are reached over the next few days or a week or so, we'll be able to put the final agreements in one iteration of these bills on the House side or the Senate side and wrap everything up. So we've done pretty good work here, you guys.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir. Further discussion.
Question, Mr. Rocco. When is Senate Bill 819 scheduled?
Mr. Chair, Senator Westland, I'd have to go back and check my records.
Do you think Senator Schrader would have any recollection of that specific date at this exact moment?
I am not sure how much Senator Schrader knows or does not know about the status
of it.
He could run for office.
I mean,
thank you, Mr. Rocco. Mr. Chair, question to the chair. Do you know when Senator
Meeting's adjourned.